Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Tuesday, August the 15th, 2023, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me. Now, we're getting into a subject a lot of people are aware of and a lot of people are not aware of, but I think it's pretty good detail. Joe gets into it. He's a professional at what he does, and he brings evidence to the table. It's real, and it's for, I've known this man since 1994. I met him in person in Arizona when I was doing a speech down there, and I've got to know many of his friends and so forth at the Breakfast Club and so forth. I mean, powerful people, and this man's an influencer in Arizona. He influences politics. And with that said, now, Professor Joe, we've talked about the aliens. We've talked about the Galactic Federation, the Confederation. All year long, we've done radio programs that people can go to the radio bar number 3, and they can look up Professor Joe and listen to him because I referenced him. Now, you have brought this to the table where most people don't have any idea. You've even brought intelligence to me that I was unaware of a few things that I've been able to confirm with a certain person that you're aware of, an attorney, former prosecutor, good friend, that is very aware of all this stuff and has been for a number of years. They've tried to murder her over it. But we're going to do a show here, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen because I want you to get into what you're going to talk to today about this cloning. Now, you had sent me a video, and I put it up as a very powerful video, and I listened to it for 2.5 hours last night. And I mean, they get into it to the max. These people have really got their stuff together. Now, with that said, Professor Joe, go ahead.
Okay, what Stu is referring to is the subject of cloning. Does it exist? Is the science there? Well, there is a YouTube presentation that was a webinar, and the title of it is An Illusion Clones / Masks. If you'll take that into YouTube and post it, webinar on illusion clones.
It's on StuWebb.com under breaking news, Joe.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That'll take care of it. So, in that webinar, what they went over was cloning. And what I didn't really realize is how open they are about cloning. And there are different clones, different types of clones. And particularly they talked about the Disney Foundation has an open thing they talked about on cloning. Now, I was surprised about that.
Now, Joe, I put up in the past 2 months, I put up some serious stuff on cloning that Charlene Renee, who was a former nurse and a good friend, she had brought a lot of this stuff to the table of Disney cloning and so forth. I think it was posted in January, maybe December. You go down my breaking news column and you'll find the cloning. There's a lot of stuff what you're getting ready to talk about. There's a couple videos that are probably up there now. So go ahead.
Well, what I would recommend is that if you want to really get into it, go to that presentation on YouTube and watch it, because they're full of examples of that would prove, yes, indeed, they're out front with their cloning. They just don't give it a whole lot of publicity. And I think this was the thing that surprised me the most about this, is that how far along, and they're really not hiding it. They just don't publicize it, that this cloning is going on. And you would hear questions about, for instance, how is it that President Biden can do what he does? He's too old. Well, if you look at his election, down here in Phoenix, there's nobody that showed up to his rally, and that was common throughout his presidential strategy. Nobody showed up. And so how is it that this guy got elected at that age? that age? Well, if you look at Biden carefully, he never blinks. Watch his eyes. He never blinks. This is one of the points that they brought out in that webinar, that one of the traits that some of the clones are is that they don't blink. And that point was brought out. Now, I think it's kind of like a important point that you might want to go back to and tell the audience about what Olga said about cloning, okay, and his words on it. And first of all, explain who Otis was.
Otis Johnson was the super spook that was William Casey's direct assistant that saw Bush doing a human sacrifice in Denver, taking him in order to sign as vice president of the United States. William Casey, he was a direct assistant to him. He was a direct assistant if you punch in 007, Jerry Henderson, Grumman Aerospace Company, also Avon, which are CIA front companies. If you go to my website and punch in the search box on my site, you'll find this kind of information. Punch in 007 Otis Johnson. He was a super spook. He was one of 300 trained, period. I met him in a jail cell in Denver. He was with John, the guy that busted John Gotti, who was CIA New York cop, was both under protective custody. Otis was still running an operation for William Casey and busting many of Bush's boys, which was a Tennessee governor he put in jail. That's all I met him. Now, very interesting people came through there, Billy Jack, Leonard Peltier, and he said, you should go talk to him, Stu. And I actually got William Peltier, an attorney, after a girl with a Las Vegas newspaper came and interviewed me and interviewed Ted Gunderson at a time that Gunderson was trying to set me up. And she even testified in court as I got a restraining order in state court against Gunderson. Now, he was a pony, he was a baloney, he was a killer. He killed Jackie McGauley, many other people. That was Gunderson. But Otis, when I met him, later became friends with him, close friends. He said, here's my son's number. When you get out of jail, call him. I did. I hooked up with him. I became friends with him. He said, what I like about you, Stu, is you're a good guy. He says, you're always seeking the truth and you're always trying to put the stop to the Bushes, which is Milman connected, your ex-father-in-law, right at the hip. He says, you're always trying to stop him and expose him. That's what I like about you. It's the reason I took you underneath my wing. Ivan remodeled his home, folks. 1 year I was there. He spent $50,000 in material and $50,000 on me. And I worked about 40, 45 hours a week and did my radio shows and all kinds of stuff. And even Tom Flacco talked to him. And Tom was writing stories for us. Otis was a super spook. I put him on an airplane. He lived in Hastings, Nebraska. I put him on an airplane in Grand Island with General Flynn. Drove out onto the tarmac in his Cadillac. He says, as soon as I get my stuff out of my trunk, he says, take off. I said, okay. So he unloads his trunk, punches the button in the dash. I drove him up there. And I was working on a house down the street he got for me. He got me several contracts. One in South Dakota, Yankton. A restaurant owner from Hastings, picking up $50,000 every 6 months off of him. He got me three houses to remodel. He was this close a friend. But I took him to an airport in Grand Island and drove out in the tarmac, and he shows his ID to the security guard as we're pulling around there to drive out on the tarmac onto the where they had the airplane parked. He showed his ID. He says, yes, sir. He salutes him. And he says, go on. I drove in. He said, now, I get my stuff out of the trunk, take off. He just unloaded his trunk, and General Flynn came out, saluted him, as he's walking over and he stops, he salutes him back, and then Flynn salutes me and I salute him back and drove off. Otis Johnson was working for General Flynn when he got murdered in 2017. 2 weeks later, General Flynn was under indictment, false indictment, over the dossier that McCain, Senator McCain, passed from Jeb Bush to Hillary Clinton, passed it to the judiciary, or to the FBI, to bring the false charges against Donald Trump in the beginning of his administration with Mueller, which they found nothing wrong. 2 months before his death, he said, "Don't worry about Mueller, Stu." I said, "We can bury him." He said, "Don't worry about him. If he doesn't do his job, I'm going to be arresting." Then I call him up 2 months later. He's laying in the hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, at the VA hospital on his deathbed. His son answered his cell phone. He put the phone up against the ear of him. He says, "Stu, they got me this time. I feel it. They stonewalled me. They stonewalled me," which is E-Systems, Dallas, Texas, Right the own court. It's operated out of Tennessee also, where satellite communications are. And those punks shoot 10 million people every day with stonar technology. It breaks down your immune system. They hit all the whistleblowers, all the noisemakers. And after 5 years, your immune system melts down and you catch a common cold and you die of pneumonia. Otis Johnson, punching in a super spook. He picked up the Glomar Explorer for Howard Hughes. Jerry Henderson, he picked up a Russian nuclear submarine, cracked it in half, and took all the nukes out, and they got the nuclear codes in 1972-73. He snuck into Russia as a farmer under a mutual co-op agreement. He took pictures out there in Siberia and ran when he was 52 years of age, all the way back to Iran, 6 days and six nights without any sleep. I have pictures of Jerry Henderson's house underground. Five stories below underground. His building, five stories below underground. His was a fifth floor below underground. Howard Hughes, the Glomar Explorer, his office was four stories below ground. Otis became a friend of mine. He confided in me. He said, "Well, I like it, but you're a good guy, Stu." I said, "Otis, why did you work for the government?" He says, "Stu, I thought I was doing it, recruited out of Air Force into Air Force Intelligence, sitting on nukes in York, Nebraska, not Omaha." And he says, "I thought I was doing it for the betterment of mankind. And I found out it was an evil cabal. It was the Bush crime syndicate, a bunch of fallen angel-possessed human beings." Now, we talked about the cloning. I told him about Hope, Arkansas. He says, "And with Rodney Bowers, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, we were on top of it, underground facility." He says, "Stu, you're absolutely right. You're very correct." He said, "They have cloned 10 million human beings. They brought the Nazi scientists over here in 1948 and put them into effect, and they cloned 10 million humans. And he says, "I'm one of the top chiefs at the NSA on my ship as a think tank. I even talked to Russian Putin." He says, "When the Syrian crisis was going on, and they were blaming us for doing nuclear, doing chemical attacks, which the U.S. was, he was on the phone with Russian Putin when he called President Putin of Russia, who told him, because I was spoke a fluent Russian, he says, if you touch us or touch Syria again, he says, we will drop a nuke in the Azov Fault off the coastline of New York in international water, which will cause a tidal wave to hit the United States 1,800 feet tall and wipe half your population clear to the Mississippi River." This is how powerful he was. And then he murdered him and killed him. And he went to Casey on Casey's deathbed. Casey was going to testify against Bush that he was out of control and robbed and looted the country. Nobody had done anything like that. And Casey, after he resigned as CIA director, he was going to go testify. The morning he was to testify before Congress, Bush shows up with two goons, hold him down in a chair and shove a needle in his temple. Bush shoved it in his temple, causing a cerebral hemorrhage, which Hastened in deathbed for 10 to 14 days at Bethesda Hospital. All the nurses, they closed out the floor above him and blind the Secret Service. All the nurses and doctors that worked the three shifts with him were all suicided within 6 months. Car crash, rollovers, and bullets behind the brain or in the mouth. They shut him up because Casey was running his mouth about what Bush had done to this country. That's an example of who Otis Johnson was. But he told me, you're correct, Stu. They cloned 10 million plus people in Hopewell, Arkansas with those aliens. And he said, but my friends at the NSA, which you sat on my patio after you pulled his huge backyard, I pulled his whole backyard with patio around a swimming pool. You could see 150 people out there and picnic tables every place. I sat there with two super spooks, his boss, and another spook, Casey's other assistant, and I heard all these stories. After hours, everybody was having drinks and having dinner, barbecue. Well, you know, I can't even rebuild because so much stuff is top secret national security. But he told me, and his two buddies that were there, Otis told me, he says, they didn't clone 10 million. We thought it was close to 20 to 30 million cloned out of Hope, Arkansas. Go ahead, Joe.
I think, Stu, you ought to add to this what Otis told you concerning the members of Congress who he thought were chipped or cloned.
He told me there were 6 out of 10 congressmen, senators, U.S. congressmen, senators, it was in the mid-2015 time frame, were chipped. He said the rest of them were cloned. He said now there's about a half a dozen, which includes Jim Jordan of Ohio. Good guy. Jim Jordan of Ohio, the Judiciary Committee guy that's going after Biden and all the crowd, and a couple others. He said they have not been touched, they are not cloned, and they have not been chipped. That's the only reason they're doing their job. Does that answer it, Joe?
I think that does. The amount of commentary on cloning at the webinar is a lot. It's 2.5 hours long.
Joe, it's a masterpiece. These two should be credited as a masterpiece with what they did.
Oh, I think so too, because the things that they were presented were well documented. But what I thought was very interesting about all of this is that within the cloning industry, okay, quote industry, they're open about it. If you go, we clone movie stars, we clone presidents.
I know that video I put up a couple months ago, Joe. It's unbelievable what Disney said. And Disney was owned by my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman. And when he put up their Disney, they came right out and said, yeah, we've been cloning the movie stars. It's up there from about 1 to 2 months ago. On Breaking News, it's still there, Joe. Go ahead.
Now, the thing of it is, I should put a comment on here. The Disney that we are familiar with, that is Snow White, Seven Dwarfs, and such as that, that's no longer Disney. When Eisner came in and took over, it changed Disney. And Disney is not the Disney of Walt Disney. It's totally changed. And so I'm not surprised that mind control experiments have been done. I'm not surprised about the clones. I'm not surprised about some of these things that seem science fiction. Is not science fiction, but is a fact. And so these two guys that put this on should really be complimented. And I encourage you, it's 2.5 hours long, but it's well worth it. Here's one of the little facts they talked about, and I haven't seen too many people talk about it. It has to do with the Roswell crash.
Very good. Now explain Roswell, Joe, and the crash.
All right. Roswell is where a UFO crashed outside of Roswell, New Mexico. And so in the newspapers, strange aircraft recovered from the desert, and the occupants aboard were such and such, and then it was taken off the air. And there's been a vast inquiry and investigative reporting on the Roswell crash. There were supposedly occupants with, of course, inside the craft, but what they didn't say is that there was a survivor, and this survivor later they interrogated this person or this entity.
It looked like a little alien, did it not?
Yeah, it's like a little grace, but not with the bug eyes. And a person was chosen because of their ability to record very quickly. And you can get this from Amazon and order the book. It's called Matilda O'Donnell, spelled O'Donnell. Matilda, spelled M-A-T-I-L-D. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy, spelled M-A-C-E-L-R-O-Y. And she was the stenographer that wrote down everything that this alien mentally projected into the scientist, and the scientist would tell what was being projected. She would print it out, she would write it down, and it's a very interesting thing, because here you have evidence from a person that was there and a stenographer, and they're still saying, well, is Roswell a mystery? Is Roswell a real thing, or was it a weather balloon, etc., etc., etc.? The alien that was in that craft came from a planet called Serpo, S-E-R-P-O, Serpo.
Was that part of the Time Federation?
I don't know.
Name the two federations.
I know that Serpo is in the constellation of the Beltigees. So the important thing is that came out of this is that the mothership eventually was able to find where the crash site was and made contact with the American forces. And not only that, arrangements were made with seven astronauts that went back to Serpo with these aliens. On the way, one died. On the way back, one died. One stayed, and the rest came back. And they used to have a website on Serpo, but they've taken it down, of course. But the reason I'm pointing this out, Stu, is that here we have something that is supposedly borderlining on science fiction, but yet it's real.
Are they not 100 years ahead of us?
Oh, so they're probably more than that.
Yeah. Now, I want to add something real quick. John Lear, my personal friend, it was a test pilot at Groom Lake, Area 51. He's a Vietnam veteran and a pilot. And he talked to me. I introduced him to Rodney Stitch on Christmas Eve. God, 1990s. Rodney calls me up, Stu, I'm going to be in Las Vegas tonight. I was in Las Vegas. Can you introduce me to John Lear? I said, yeah. I called John Lear up. He said, bring him over. Christmas Eve, he invites us over his wife, great gal, his service dinner and everything. Huge place, nice place on a Sunrise Mountain. Arnold Schwarzenegger lived up the street, and I lived in a house in between, remodeling for a gal that was a patriot. Lived there for 6 months. I took Rodney, picked him up, took him over there, and John confessed to us. He confessed to me on a radio show. I've been trying to retrieve off my old broken computer that I can't get. He said, quote unquote, my father, yes, bought 150 flying saucers for the United States government. He took the contract. He sold Learjets to his partner. John Lear, Learjets. And he sold it to his partner. And he took the contract with the government to build 150 flying saucers in 1952 to 1958. And then they kicked him out in 58, or 59 it was. They kicked him out in 58 because he made a comment to a couple friends that he was building a flying saucer secretly for the government. So it ended his contract. But he built 150 flying saucers for the United States Air Force, which is the bad guys. Then you have a Navy. The good guys. The Office of Naval Intelligence, Ross Perot was out of, and many others helped me out. That was the site. That's the good site. But go ahead, Joe.
All right. So, what may seem to be a science fiction thing turns out to the point I'm making here is what one time we considered science fiction. It's not science fiction. It is real.
It's reality today.
Well, I would say so because of it. Now, this is a little bit off the subject. William T. Tompkins wrote a book called, two books called Selected by Extraterrestrials. He was a young guy that was inducted into the Navy because of his ability to draw.
Approximately what year? Approximately what year for the audience?
That's World War II.
Got it. Go ahead.
So, he was brought on board by Admiral Abada, who was given this command by Forrestal.
And make these notes on Admiral Abada and Forrestal, folks. It's very important. Look it up on the internet. See what you can find. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, what they did, what happened was, is that James Forrestal somehow made a contact with what they call the Nordics. What they told him was, caused Forrestal to create this type of investigative team. And the investigative team, they first brought in Admiral Abada, then they brought in spies. And the spies infiltrated Paramunda, which was the secret base of the Nazis. Now, this is in eastern Germany near the Polish border. What they found was, what later to be talked about was, is that the aliens had contacted General Crummell and others, and offered them to give them anti-gravity machines, of which they said, okay, yeah, right, we'll do that. So anyway, they began experimenting with the anti-gravity machines, and then made their way down to the Antarctic. Now that's another story, I won't go into it right now because it's quite long. But anyway, the point being is that Admiral Abada had the expertise of William P. Tompkins as a young man, and he would take these packets around and he would do drawings, and they would present them to different aircraft companies. So this was during World War II. So as time went by, he was hired on by different firms like TRW, Douglas, Northrop, and he was a top engineer, always working with what he quoted were the Nordics. So get the book, selected by extraterrestrials, and it's the story of William T. Tompkins. It's a true story. Now, William T. Tompkins has what we would call a counterpart. Although they did not know each other, they said the same thing, and that was Ed Slade, Area 51 scientist. So tell them a little bit about Ed Slade. Don't go too far into the forest there with it. Tell them about Ed Slade. You there, Stu?
I am.
Ed Slade was a U.S. scientist that I met after they tried to murder him. I met in Las Vegas the battle through a friend, a couple, that I had introduced to, and they got married. They met him in a restaurant. He was rambling. He turns out to be a real scientist that they tried to murder when he was on a stage with Bo Greitz in Nevada talking about the alien base in Papoose Lake, Nevada, and they shot him with an energy weapon. When he retired, they shot him with an energy weapon, tried to kill him, put him in a coma for 2 years. He survived. That's how I met him. When I met him, he was coming to a prayer group we had in Las Vegas, a few of us, about a half dozen of us, every Saturday night, praying against the enemy. We saw change in America. The point was, he was there. When I walked up to him, and I told Otis that he was a U.S. scientist working at a place called Papoose Lake, Nevada. He says, let's find out if he's real, Stu. Ask him what the polium is. The polium, top secret, element 118. They make the flying saucers out of. He turned white as a ghost, and he told my friend, don't mention his name, this guy's a spoofer. He's a troll. He's a government plan or something. 6 months he wouldn't talk to me. Finally started talking to me, and then became friends. Before I left Las Vegas, he'd take me out to lunch 3 times a week for an entire month of the Holiday Inn on the Las Vegas Strip, where we could get lunch for $4.95, lunch. He told me everything, including this. He says, don't ever tell anybody this. I'm going to tell you it's top secret, because he says, if they do, they'll kill me. They finally killed him. He bought war bonds. He wanted to collect. He had $2.5 billion worth of war bonds from World War II Ford, that Rothschild and Rockefeller, who he answered to, the aliens, promising this is your retirement. They turned out to be bogus. Two of the bonds turned out to be worth $2.5 billion. I just ran them for me. He says, these are all bogus. These are real, Stu. I have those bonds, by the way, folks, buried in southern Missouri. $2.5 billion worth of bonds. I have of his. But here's the point. He told me, don't ever tell anybody this secret shit, Stu. He says, I made a loaf of bread out of element 115, 116, 117, and 118, Napoleon. You know, it's the Bible, the Israelis came up with the Bible code. They found that Proverbs or Psalms. There's 149 elements that the fallen angels are trying to find to finish up their end, shall we say, the destruction of mankind. There are only up to about 133 elements they found so far. But he fused element 115, 116, 117, and 118 into a loaf of bread at Papoose Lake, Nevada, where he worked with the aliens in answer to the President of the United States and Anderson, Rothschild, and Rockefeller, the two fallen angels, 12 disciples of Satan. Now, he tells me, I went to a prayer in Mexico, north of Mexico City. Normally that time of the evening, 4:35 o'clock, been busy. Nobody was around. This naughty guy, 7'6" tall, standing there, and he tells me, he says, "Are you Ed Slade?" "Yes." "Hey, well, let me see what you are. You so-and-so?" "Yes." "Let me see what you brought me." The airplane drove everybody off the pyramid. So, we'll set it out, Ed, 50 yards out. He did, turns around. He said, "Far enough?" He says, "Yeah, it's far enough. Come on back here." He came back. He said, "Now turn around and look out there towards the deal." It turns into a flying saucer. "Hey, what the hell?" he says. He turns around and says, "Now, man, shut your eyes, look out there and think it into a flying saucer." He's trying to think it into, "Hey, I can't do that." "I think yeah, you can." "Think it, man. You're thinking the wrong way. No, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. No, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way." He said, "Now, man, open up your eyes." It turned into a flying saucer. The alien-possessed human being, whatever it was, the fallen angel was reading his mind. He said, "Now, man, come on, I'll take you for a joyride and you see Earth from space." He took him up, brought him back. He says, "Now, do you see what you made me? You made me my future toy, my car, my saucer. Then I can get into and go hide." Go ahead.
Alright, I think because there's so much that the two gentlemen produced. Again, it is Rednar on Illusion Clones /masks on YouTube. And then you can, it still may be on YouTube, I don't think it is, Matilda O'Donnell McElroy. You can buy the book from Amazon, and it's a exact translation of the interview of the alien from the Roswell crash. So what I'm presenting here is that if these things go on that Stu has come across, then there must be clones. There must be a science. And what I'm surprised about from listening to this is that the nonchalant attitude of the people. "No, we've been doing it a long time. We do movie stars. We do everybody." So with that, Stu, I think we'll bring it to a close, because I want to encourage people to go watch that webinar. 2.5 hours.
It's on StuWeb.com under Breaking News, where you can find it. Now, Joe, I want you to talk before we end the show. Give me a 5-minute scenario on the Galactic Federation and the Confederation. People have no idea. They're out here living in the world of Zuzu Land, and they don't know that there's Star Wars battles going on. And Jesus Christ, Almighty God, is his forces. And it's the other forces that are out here, which are evil forces. Now, the United States government has been infiltrated, and the NSA has registered 200,000 aliens. Others said, "Oh, they're not called fallen angels, they're called the aliens registered with the U.S. government." These are human beings like Larry Mizell, Daddy Bush, and others. Henry Kissinger, Pope Benedict, it's now supposedly dead, but Black Pope, Ezra Ben Shri, the head rabbi in Israel. The list goes on. 12 disciples of Satan who control 95%+ of the entire wealth of the world now, through the corporations and everything else. And we are up against this. Here's what I want you to tell the people, Joan. How much the Christians out here are so fooled. Dispensationalism. I want you to touch on that for a moment, and I want you to touch on the Confederation and the Galactic Federation. Do that first, and then explain to Christians how bad this is. We got 200,000 aliens the Fallen Angels, human form, registered with the National Security Agency of the United States government since 1952. And they're controlling the communications worldwide through the bases like Bluffdale, where they have an alien base built. They're controlling everybody. We have to inform the people, Joe. What I want you to touch on is the Galactic Federation, the Confederation, and the Fallen Angels, and what they're doing. Just give it a conclusion in 4 or 5 minutes for people to understand, please.
All right. General Ishad. General Ishad, who headed the Israeli space program security, has come out and said, there is the Great Galactic Federation. Think of them as good guys. The bad guys, we would call the Green and Black Dragons.
Isn't that tied to U.S. Air Force?
No, let's hold off on that. That is called the Confederation. We know for sure that there is a Galactic Federation, the Great Galactic Federation, because General Ishad has come forward and said, yeah, it exists. The other, the Black Hats, if you want to call it that, is your, I call it the Green and Black Dragons, Reptilians, the Fallen Angels. They head the Confederation. Jesus Christ heads the Great Galactic Federation, and it is in conflict now. And so there are different allies, there's different cabals, there's different cartels within each of these sides. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea. But the most important thing is, that you want to get out of this, is to listen to that webinar and also get the book, the translation of the entity at Roswell. And you can do that again by going to Amazon and getting Matilda's book, Matilda O'Donnell. And it is, she made double copies of it because she had to type it up, she had to write it down, and she kept the copy for herself. And we have been, as Ed Slavin said, we have been on the moon since 1962. And we have been on Mars since 1968. And by the way, I sent out a video to all of my contacts of the rover on Mars that found a tunnel with railroad tracks on Mars. On Mars. It's not a fake.
John Laird.
It's not a CGIA. It's real.
John Laird. John Laird. Go ahead. But John Mayer...
Go ahead. Let's conclude it now. That's enough for the audience.
John Lear brought out the fact there's a pyramid on Mars, along with... He made Art Bell famous, the talk show host. The nightly thing with Art Bell. Okay? And I'm trying to think of his friend... was the one that worked with Ed Slade. I'm trying to think of his name. But John was a good friend. But John exposed that continuously about God, I wish I could think of it. Joe, I'm having a brain fart for some reason. But anyway, here's the point I'm trying to make. We're 100 years ahead. There's 100 years ahead of us with alien technology, which is Fallen Angel technology, that the people have no idea. They talk about, look, we just shot another rocket into space, and we have a space command up there, and we have this and that. This is 100 years ahead of time, folks. The United States Air Force is fighting with the United States Navy in a battle between the Confederation and the Galactic Federation. The Air Force are infiltrated by the Fallen Angels. We have a battle going on that nobody can believe. I've seen flying saucers flying in near Las Vegas into the hole between Utah and Las Vegas on I-95. I've seen them. They glow like orange. I saw them parked up their stair step coming to Papoose Lake, Nevada, north of the Alien restaurant where I spoke at one time. Twice, actually. I think three times. Joe owned it. Became a friend. The little Alien restaurant, okay, near Las Vegas, where it is near Area 51, Area 52, Groom Lake. That's the government's test site that John Lear flew out of, and other pilots, and Otis flew into, and all kinds of people. Showing our latest toys. Papoose Lake, Nevada is 65 miles to the north-northwest of there. That's the alien base that Ed Slade, the U.S. scientist, worked with. I was honored to meet these kind of people, Joe. Now, over the years, Joe, you've monitored this, your intelligence, you're a school teacher, they offer you you're a professor, they offer you a superintendent job in L.A. You went to work for Wackenhut at one time, installing security systems, became friends with CIA people, Wackenhut. I gotta tell you, I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to know your knowledge and your wisdom that you bring to the American people, because we are at a time and day that the American people must know all this stuff, because they're getting ready to get confronted, and this comes into dispensationalism. Explain it quickly, please.
Can I just do that, and then I've got to, my battery is running.
Okay, low. I understand. Go ahead.
All right, dispensationalism is simply a thing upon, its main theme is the return of Jesus Christ and the building of the temple at Jerusalem. And I don't want, getting into the definition of dispensationalism, it goes way, 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 way back, but it's taking biblical verses and making prophecy out of it. And that's the best thing for right now to be said. So let's leave it there, Stu.
That's what they're doing. They're taking biblical prophecies. Now we have the Catholic version, the New International version, the Mormon version, the King James version. We have all these different versions of the Bible, but they don't read the same. Why is that, Joe?
It would take a half an hour more, of which I don't have. We've
okay.
got to get off now, Stu.
Okay, I understand your phone's dying.
Yep.
Okay.
We've got about 2 minutes. I've got to talk.
Thank you very much for coming on with me. I'll have it up soon, okay?
All
right. We'll do it. We'll continue this program on dispensationalism and the fallen angels, folks, so you have a bigger picture. They're 100 years ahead of us in technology. And would that be correct, Joe?
Yeah, we gotta go, Stu.
I'll talk to you, my friend. Have a good one. Thank you.